Welcome to yet another exciting season of Sisters in Conversation, the podcast. I'm your host, Tebelo Motsane. I'm an attorney by profession and the founder of a platform called Sister in Law, which is a platform dedicated to empowering women through legal education. On this podcast, I profile women of color in the legal profession in an attempt to celebrate their contribution to the profession. We journey through their individual stories of perseverance and resilience and overcoming challenges like imposter syndrome, racism, and sexism, to name a few. I hope you're geared up for what promises to be another insightful, informative, and empowering season. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to this podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Sisters in Conversation. I am Letlhogonolo Ntodi, a candidate attorney filling in for Tebelo Motshwane on today's episode. Today, we have Samkelisiwe Mbutuma, who is a candidate attorney awaiting admission. She holds a LLB and LLM in constitutional litigation from the University of KwaZulu-Natal. Prior to starting her articles, she worked with Sister in Conversation, drafting articles about various legal topics. A few of the articles went on to be translated and published in a local newspaper in KwaZulu-Natal. Her passion lies in using legal knowledge and skills to help bring legal knowledge to those who need it most, yet do not have it in their reach. She is currently working on a project that will make the law more accessible to the general public. Hi, Samke. Welcome to Sisters in Conversation, the podcast. You've already been familiar with the platform. So please walk us through your journey in terms of who you are, how you got to where you are, and most importantly, your passion about access to legal education.
Hi, Shoni. I'm so excited to be in this podcast. My gosh, if I were to walk you through. So I, like anybody else, studied my four-year degree, LLB. Afterwards, I said, you know what, let me just do my LLM before I commence my articles. Mm-hmm. So I did my LLM, and I did my LLM via full research instead of coursework. So I wanted to make sure that I am well-versed with how to do academic research. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I almost died doing that. Oh, my God. At some point, I remember that after I had finished my entire thesis and it was edited, I put it on Turnitin, it disappeared in my laptop. I almost died, seriously. But anyway, I made it, I graduated. And after graduating, it wasn't the easiest getting articles. And I knew what I wanted to do. Yes, obviously, when you want articles, you want to learn as much as possible. Yes. But I knew that ultimately I want to be a litigator. And I knew deep inside, I don't know how, but I just knew that I'd be good at it. So I was praying, literally praying that I get my articles with legal aid, because I know that you basically live at court. But anyway, I wasn't picky. Anyway, we'd get articles. I wanted it. So it wasn't easy getting articles. And during my the time when I was doing my master's, I wanted to also be doing something. Obviously, I was doing, I was applying for articles at the same time, even though I wanted to make sure that I finish my LLM. Yes. And in my frustration, I would, you know, follow people. I was already following Sisters in Conversation, but I didn't know whether I could approach Utebello. And my God, I could write a book about this wonderful lady. And one day I got the guts. I DM'd her. I was just basically telling her about my frustration that I've been applying and my marks for my LLB are very good. It's just that I think it's very competitive out there. And I'm not getting articles at the moment, even though I'm still doing my master's. She said, you know what, maybe let's just work, write articles for us, draft about, I'll tell you maybe about a topic, you do research and you can draft, and maybe in that you will, you know, enhance your skills. And luckily, I was already gaining research skills through my master's. Yes. I was happy with that. and we started working together. We started working together, started, you know, researching different topics. And then she then gave me more freedom to just decide that, okay, I think this is important to draft. So what happened was 2020 happened and COVID. COVID happened, and I wrote an article about evictions, the legal standing of evictions at the time, because, you know, we couldn't move around. So I wanted to figure out what does the law say about someone being evicted if you, I mean, you're in a predicament. You just lost your job because of COVID and you can't move around and you can't pay your rent. So what's going to happen? So I wrote an article about that. It blew up. I don't know why, but it blew up. It was posted on the sister-in-law website. It was posted there, and it went on to other platforms as well. And then I was approached by someone and from a local newspaper. I'll say it's Isolezwe in KZN. Yes. And said, so they wanted me to translate it into isiZulu because it's an isiZulu newspaper. I did that, and it was published there. Another article of mine was published there. And basically, this is how I realized that this is what I want to do with my legal career. Besides practicing as an attorney, I want to make the law accessible. There are so many people out there who want legal assistance, but they just don't understand the terms. And in areas, so like rural areas, people don't understand what they can do with the law or how the law can assist them. They don't understand it because generally you'll have the law in English or you'll have it in Afrikaans, but you'll never find it in isiZulu or vernacular language. So basically I want to drive that. I want to bring the law to people who don't understand it so that I can make them understand that, listen, this is how the law is structured. This is how the law can help you in whatever problem that you're encountering. So yeah, this is where I am. I'm almost done with my articles, but I also want to push that narrative as well of making the law accessible to everyone and in all languages as well.
Yes, I think as the interview goes on, we'll come back to how it is that we can advise other people who want to push the same kind of narrative as you and the kinds of resources and platforms they can tap into to make sure that they're also using their legal education with the same impact that you are. Through your introduction, you mentioned some very interesting things. You wanted to do your articles with legal aid. Did you eventually do your articles with legal aid? And what happened with that process, if you don't mind me asking? Because I think a lot of people don't actually think about legal aid as an option where you can go and pursue your articles and get the sort of robust exposure into litigation that you wanted.
Yes, I am currently serving my articles with legal aid. So what happened is I applied, you can apply through their website. I applied and I first got called into an interview for the Limpopo office. But because COVID happened, then that thing just kind of fell away. And then luckily, later on in the year, I got invited for the KZN interviews and then I got placed in KZN. And I must say it has been the best experience. Obviously, it's not easy. Articles are never easy. I don't know if anyone can say articles are easy, but it's the best because I get to litigate. I litigate every day, like court every day. And I learned so much about court etiquette, about court procedure, you know. So I'm almost done, but yes, I'm at legal aid currently. And there are two departments there. There's the civil department and there's the criminal department. I started in the criminal department and then I also, you know, rotate to the civil department. We do a lot of things. We cover a lot of things. And so you get a lot of exposure because you can't pick and choose the work you want. You just get the work and you do it. So you learn a lot by that.
So you mentioned that serving articles is difficult. Does it make it extra difficult that now you are sort of running your own litigious training at Legal Training, at Legal Aid? Does it make it more difficult that every day you're commuting to court and having to represent, unlike in a setup that, for example, I'm in, where we're constantly in the office? What kind of difficulty, from your perspective as somebody who is always in court as well, are you facing at Legal Aid?
I would say that I give props to Legal Aid for making it easy for us. I mean, in terms of commuting, just the simplest thing, commuting to court, we have cars, like Legal Aid cars available. So you won't have a problem. Just take a car and go to court. But also, Legal Aid is always situated very closely to court. So it's not a problem getting to court and coming back. Maybe I'd say a difficulty is you have your work at the office that you need to complete, but you also have your work in court that you have to complete. So it's the fight of trying to balance, because sometimes you're in court all day and then you come back, it's about 4 o'clock, you still have the admin that you have to deal with, because it's not just that you deal with the file that you're dealing with or the matter you're dealing with in court and then leave it there. You have to come back, you have to update the system, the legal system, about what you did with the matter. If you have to draft anything, you have to draft. So that balance can be a bit difficult, but as time goes by, you create your own system about how you're going to balance the two. But I will lie, we it depends which department you're in. It's, for me, I found it more difficult in the civil department, considering that when you're in the civil department, there's a lot of drafting that needs to happen. And if you're in the civil department, there's also timelines. You are limited to timelines. You have your 15 years. And we have so many files that you have to deal with. So you have to make sure that you make it to court on time. You deal with the matters in court. You have to come back quickly and draft and make sure that you serve and file everything within the timeline, which is difficult. But with the criminal part, because there aren't so many timelines, it's not that bad.
Thank you for that. I understand that kind of difficulty of having to balance between your office work and the court work and making sure that you're managing your file effectively. I think something that's quite inspirational about you is that you've always wanted to know you wanted to litigate. I'm still doing my articles, and sometimes I'm like, am I sure I want to do this particular thing? How did you come to the decision so early and speak so fervently and passionately about the fact that you want to litigate?
Can I tell you something? From the time I was a child, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. And whenever, as time went on and I grew up, and people asked me which lawyer you wanted to be, although I didn't know the terms, I just said I wanted to be in court and speak in court. At the time, I didn't know that it's called litigation, but I just liked it. When I saw it on TV, I loved it. And as time went on and I grew and I understood myself, I saw that, you know what, I talk too much. I like arguing. I like structuring arguments. I like thinking on my feet, which is what litigation requires from you. You need to think on your feet. So I saw that as I started doing the work, that it matches my personality, and what I like to do matches what is required of you when you're in litigation. Yeah. So I am so sure that litigation is what I want to do.
I'm so glad you have that level of certainty, and I hope that many other people who are listening to the podcast can get to a place where they have that level of certainty. And if you don't have the level of certainty yet, it's still okay. Your legal career is still a long way to go. You don't have to have it all figured out right now, but props to you for knowing what you want and standing by it and pursuing it no matter what the odds were at the time. Do you think your LLM and your legal research did help you become a better litigator, over and above also assisting you decide about the fact that you want to write in a way that is accessible to people in terms of legal education?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. LLB will prepare you in terms of, you know, as far as it can. I think if we were to speak about the shortcomings of the degree itself, it would take all day. As in, like, it doesn't really prepare you for the working world, but somewhat gives you an idea of what, you know, you are going into in terms of the law, the introduction. It just basically gives you introduction to the law. But now, yes, when you advance and go into maybe if you want to do your master's or your PhD, it breaks everything down that you thought you knew. Yes. It gives you a different perspective in terms of how you thought you understood the law. You think you understood the law when you were doing LLB. No, you don't. You don't. So you don't. Well, let me speak for myself. I thought I did. I did. Yes. No, I did not. Because
I relate to you completely. Yeah.
My God. I thought I did. No, I knew absolutely nothing. So yes. With my LLM, I thought I knew how to write, but no, it was like going back and being a child again and learning how to construct sentences, because now you are not writing for high school level. That's not how you write anymore. You write at a different level. And now you have to write your sentences or construct your sentences in a legal manner. Yes. And your research skills, you have to be able to, you know, pick and choose very quickly and be able to spot what is relevant and what is not. And especially when it comes to judgments, it gives you a great skill in knowing how to analyze judgments, because you have to quote a lot of law and you have to know how to adequately apply that law into what you're saying or your argument. And that I've taken it, my skills, and to be able to draft and to be able to understand and to be able to explain the law as well. Because if I also want to make it accessible by writing articles and making people understand, I have to be able to do it in two ways. One way where a layman can understand, and another way where a legal person can understand it, but both can meet in same, can read the same article and understand it.
Yes.
So I think my LLM really, really paid off.
I'm glad that it did. And I'm glad that you've sort of summarized what your role as somebody who is a medium for both sides is, because you are a medium to the lay person, but you're also a medium to somebody who has the legal acumen to understand what you're saying, so that there can be a meeting of the minds, because the business of law is between lawyers and their clients, and they need to be able to understand each other. I see that you say in your bio that you are starting a project that will help people access the law better in terms of language. So how did you tap into the resources? You mentioned that you wrote a few articles for Sisters in for the Sister in Law platform. But what advice can you give somebody who is pursuing this particularly? How can they start making those contacts to spread their passion for access to legal education in the ways that you have? Somebody who doesn't have the privilege maybe of writing for the platform, how could you advise them to start and get on their feet in terms of that? Because I think it is very important, and COVID did expose with those regulations that we don't quite know. Well, I had to ask my dad, what is a mosque in Setswana? Because I can read it, but somebody in Rustenburg might not be able to read it. Somebody, what is a mosque in Setswana? How can we break these regulations down in a way that you can understand it?
Okay, for me, I'm so glad you asked this question, because I wish that a lot of people can, you know, jump into this bandwagon of having law accessible in vernacular languages. For me, I won't say I'm an expert in isiZulu. I'm far from it. So, for example, if you also wish to do what I did, which is publish in a newspaper or a platform in a vernacular language, they have their own experts. You know, you can do your best and also maybe try to get somebody to assist you to, because I mean, the easiest way is to first write it in English, because we are now used to the English language. Probably write it in English and then change it or translate it. There are so many now softwares that assist in that. Changing it. Google Translate does a somewhat of a job. I'm not going to say a good or a bad job. Somewhat of a job. It's it's a starting point. It's a starting point. It changes it, changes the whole document. And then maybe you can then read it and then fix, because sometimes these softwares, they direct translate, which is not a way that you would necessarily write the sentence or speak it. So just start there, have the document translated by using a software. And then you can just read it and change it. And if you need assistance from someone who knows isiZulu or your language better, then they can assist you. But once you submit it to the particular platform, they have their own experts in that language, and they can just assist you in changing those things that needs to be changed. But it is very, very easy. And if anyone wants to do this, you can approach your newspapers, that the newspapers that are accessible to a lot of people, especially the people we are targeting, which is people who don't have legal access, people in the rural areas. These are people who still watch the news. These are still people who still buy newspapers, who rely on newspapers to get the information. So if you can slot yourself in there, like I knew that I would reach some people, because my own grandmother every day without fail buys a newspaper. So if I can reach certain people like that, I mean, a lot can be done. So anybody else in Gauteng, whatever newspaper you can use, or whatever platform you know is reachable to people who don't have the law or legal knowledge readily accessible to them, go out there. If you can make yourself available in communities, maybe if there's a, you know how municipalities sometimes hold these things called indaba or
makhota.
Ask to be part of it. Ask to be part of it, because they usually target the communities, the people, your daily grandmothers, your grandfathers, your people who are unemployed. Just ask to be slot in there and give whatever information you want to give, so that you, the law can be accessible to other people, and make it easy for them to understand and know that the law is there to help them. Because a lot of them have a lot of legal issues. They just don't trust the law because they don't understand it.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
This is so true. I think just to add on to that, if you're somebody who doesn't like writing but is confident in their speaking abilities, you can even approach local radio stations, right? There's still a lot of people, especially of the older generation, who without fail are on their local radio stations, which deliver whatever information in the predominant language of that radio station. So I do think that there's still scope in many different mediums in which you can make legal education more accessible.
Exactly. I mean, we can be, as people, as this generation who are now knowledgeable, we can be proactive in making sure that we help our people. I'm a very big advocate for not keeping the knowledge I have to myself. I want other people to be assisted. I want other people to know what I know and not fall victim to a lot of scams, because they go to people say, no, don't worry, I'll assist you. But they never know what's going on. I want them to be able to know their rights in their own languages and to fully understand what they can get help with and how they can get help with that.
This is so true, because a lot of the people in our communities who don't have access to legal education fall victim of many things that they're not aware of, or they're not aware that the law itself can help them solve that problem. So what you're saying is very true. Thank you for bringing the conversation of a generation into the forefront, which is one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. You are a young legal practitioner. And as somebody who is coming into the law, what can you think us as young people can do in terms of contributing as people who are becoming legal practitioners? What can we do? You've already started with your passion for access to legal education, but what more can we do? Not only to facilitate ease within the workplace, but to just foster change with our legal education.
I mean, I'm so glad you asked me this question. We know more than our predecessors. Well, they're still in the workforce, but we know more, and we know how to make things reach. We know how to make things trend. So we are, you know, it's funny because some people will laugh when you say, when they ask you, why did you get into law? And then you say, it's because I want to see justice being done. And they just laugh at the word justice because they say that, well, we never get justice with the law. But I think we, as the newer generation that are now in the legal field, we are in a better place to see or to make justice happen. And not just happen, but to be seen. Like the our communities, our parents who never believed in the law actually working for them, we are in the best position. I mean, we have technology right in the palm of our hands to make sure we spread the information that needs to be spread. What used to be known, or what is known about the law, which normally with the people that we come across, your everyday person, they'll say, wait, what can a lawyer do for me? All they'll do is take my money. But if we can willingly spread information about the law, how can the law help your everyday human being? How can we make sure that you do not fall victim to people who are there to prey on people who do not know? We are that generation who we are energized. We have energy to be on our phones every day. We have to go out there and speak about the things that also affect us as this generation. So I think we can do a lot. And with the new technology coming in with AI, it's coming with us. It's coming while we are here. We can do a lot by making sure that we also make the law work with the times and work for the people, not against the people.
Yes, this is so true. I'm going to ask a slightly difficult question a question that I find slightly difficult to you, because you mentioned that our predecessors are still with us at work. Law is one of those spaces where across you can find a person from each generation coexisting in the same office. How are you maneuvering the tensions between our generation and our predecessors? Because I do think that there are a bit of tensions in the workplace in terms of work style, or what our generation is calling work compromises. Do you think there's a world in the legal profession for work-life balance, because our predecessors don't seem to believe that there is? Or is there a way where we can create scope for it so that everyone is not necessarily finding themselves like, we're a difficult generation to work with, or they're a difficult generation to work with?
Oh my God. Oh my gosh, these people are there and they are... oh my gosh, as you're speaking, I'm actually thinking of one particular individual at work. And but you know, I always have this discussion that I mean they our predecessors can call us lazy, but I think it's more effective. And this is what I'm talking about. If I get to work and I give my best at work and I do what needs to be done for the day, and it's not, let's say you're working from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock and I'm done by 3 o'clock. I think I should leave, not because I'm lazy, but it creates time for me to be able to go rest, to be able to go tend to my personal life, and also able to work from home if I need to. And also, it's a much more efficient person because I'm well rested. It doesn't mean that I don't want to work if I say I'm done by 3 o'clock. Whatever needs to be done at the office is done by 3 o'clock. So I can leave. I think I can leave. Whatever needs me, I can work from home. Luckily, COVID has made us aware that it's actually possible to work from home, especially when you're not at a particular place like court. So if I'm done for the day, I think I should be able to leave so that I can tend to my personal life. I can be well rested, come back for the next day. I'm more energized and I'm a much more happier person mentally. It creates a much better work-life balance. But our predecessors don't understand that. They want you to work until 8 o'clock, even though I've worked efficiently for 5-6 hours. I don't need the full 8 hours of work.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they'll ever understand that, but we are the generation who are owning our own law firms now. We can structure the way that we are working so that we create better human beings who are able to balance their lives and who are able to. I believe a happy employee is a more productive and more efficient employee.
Yes.
So they don't understand that, but I think that if we can work like that, if I can be able to show that this is the work I've done, I've been productive the whole day, then I can go. Those who have children can go tend to their children. Those who want to do other things, it makes me a much more happier, relaxed person so they can come work and actually want to be here.
Yes. Because
as much as I'm passionate about my work, but the work environment can drain you so much that you end up dreading being in that place.
Yes.
So I believe that we are the generation who can create better work environments. I mean, there are countries that are now starting to implement 4-day working weeks, which I think is amazing. I don't think we as South Africa will be in that position anytime soon because of our economy. I think that will create much more productive and efficient people or employees.
This is so true. And I don't want this question to ever be misconstrued as us advocating for people to ever leave work without tending to their responsibilities, because the legal profession is not a profession of laziness. You cannot be lazy.
It
constantly needs you to be able to work and be agile as a person, and you cannot leave your responsibilities to go, because you work on clients' time and clients are demanding, but there is space and scope for you to get what you need to get done and manage your time effectively to get what you need to get done so that you can go and balance other areas of your life. We're not at all advocating that people must now be up in arms saying that I won't work another few hours when I get home. No, if you can get home, rest for an hour, go to the gym, do whatever you need to do to make you a happier, more productive person, by all means do that. But if there's an urgent instruction coming through, law is that kind of demanding career. We're just asking for scope, right? And agility.
Yeah. And to add to that, I think, for example, in where I work, you have to apply for something called, it's a flexible time. So flexible working days, where there are days where you don't have to come into the office. If you have court, you just from work, go to court and then go back work. But you have to be able to show that you're productive. So in a situation like that, you have to be able to show that you are productive and you get the work done. You're not just leaving because you feel like you're tired, but you've actually finished the work that you're supposed to do. You have done all, you've tended to all the instructions for the day. You've done everything that needs to be done, and everything else that you need to do elsewhere, maybe do at work, you are able to do, but you have to be able to show to your employer that you are a person and be trusted with that kind of flexibility.
Yes. Oh, you just wrapped it up so nicely. You have to be able, because there's nothing worse than a lawyer that is not competent or credible, but most importantly, not reliable. And your first port of reliability is getting things done at work. And then clients will grow to be able to rely on you. But you need to always be reliable and deliver on your deliverables.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today, Samke. This has been a beautiful conversation. How can people get a hold of you? Where can people find you? How can people track your articles that you write? Those people who aren't in KZN, who can't buy the newspaper that you write for, where else can they find you and find access to your work?
Okay. On Instagram, I am S.N. Mbutuma. They can find me there. I always, whatever I need to let people know, I always post it there. I'll be recommend Twitter because I don't like to engage too much on Twitter, but mainly on my Instagram, SN Mbutuma. They can really find me there. And whatever I am writing, I have a link as well there for my articles, so they can interact with me on Instagram.
Thank you so much, Samke. I've really enjoyed today's conversation. And to the listeners, I hope you have enjoyed today's episode as well. Please don't forget to like and share the podcast so that this kind of information about writing in an accessible way, about just spreading information in the most accessible way for people to be able to consume legal information goes far and wide. Thank you, Samke, and we will keep in touch.
Thank you so much, Shoni. Have a great day further.
Thank you.